And entering the house, they found the child with Mary, his mother, and falling down, they worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Before I begin the homily, I just want to tell you, after Mass, we will venerate the baby Jesus, and we will also extract the Epiphany saints for your spiritual life. You'll have a patron saint for this particular year, okay? Today, as you know, we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany. It commemorates the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. All these thousands of years, the Gentiles, these are the pagans, the non-Jews were in darkness. This is why Isaiah says, the world that lay in darkness has seen a great light. Now the revelation, the Gentiles, represented by the three kings from the east, will see and venerate the child Jesus, the baby Jesus, the Son of God. And this will be open up the world to Christ. My dear friends, it is a great event to realize that all these pagans, millions and millions of pagans all over the world, will someday eventually know about Christ. If they haven't known him about yet, then we may be at fault for that, but we have gone to the whole world and people should have heard about Jesus Christ. And we need to pray, as Our Lady said, to pray that these people will come to Christ. Dom Prosper Garanger, in his liturgical year, comments on today's feast, quote, "Oh, the greatness of this glorious day on which begins the movement of all nations towards the church, the true Jerusalem. Oh, the mercy of our Heavenly Father, who has been mindful of all these people that were buried in the shades of death and sin. Behold, the glory of the Lord has risen upon the holy city, and kings set out to find and see the light. Jerusalem is not large enough to hold all this sea of nations. Another city must be founded, and towards her shall be turned the countless Gentiles of Median and Ephah. Thou, O Rome, art this holy city, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged. Heretofore thy victories have won thee slaves, but from this day forward thou shalt draw within thy walls countless children. Lift up thine eyes and see all these that is the whole human race, given themselves to thee as thy sons and daughters. They come to receive from thee new birth. Open wide thine arms and embrace them that come from north and south, bringing gold and frankincense to him who is the king and who is thy king and ours." End quote, Don Prosper Garanger. My friends, what great mysteries are revealed in the Word of God today. First, we have the fulfillment of several messianic prophecies. And next, we have the call of the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. These are great events and great mysteries. The glory of the Lord and the revealed to the Gentiles. We see in Isaiah, "Arise, be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Isaiah 61. "Not only will the inhabitants of Israel see the great light, but so will all the nations of the world." Quote, Isaiah 66. "All they from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense, and showing forth praise to the Lord." Now these, of course, are messianic prophecies in Isaiah, hundreds of years before the events that we see in today's readings. Right? From the book of Numbers, the pagan prophet Balaam says, "A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall spring up from Israel." Numbers 24:17. This theme of all nations adoring the Messiah is seen in today's offertory antiphon from Psalm 71:11. "And all the kings of the earth shall adore him, all nations shall serve him." St. Paul repeats again the call of the Gentiles when he says that the Gentiles are joint heirs and fellow members of the same body and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Again, this is the magnitude of this revelation to the Gentiles is just incomprehensible, considering how the whole world had laid in darkness and knew nothing of God. Many of them, as I told you a few times, many of these peoples didn't understand God. This is why they worshiped the sun, or they worshiped the wind or the rain or the fire or whatever. So now God is revealing himself through Jesus Christ and in time through the apostles and their successors. The Magi believe in the light of Christ. Right? The Magi, who were pagan astrologers, believe and have the faith to contrast with the doubting Jews when they come asking, "Where is he to be born, the king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And Herod says, "When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and worship him." When the Magi turned to Jerusalem for guidance, they lost the star. When they left Jerusalem and Herod, a symbol of the loss of faith, they regained the star and found Christ, the true light. And falling down, they worshiped him. Kings of Arabia, Arabian and Saba, shall bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For by gold, Saint John Chrysostom tells us, for by gold the power of a king is signified. By frankincense, the honor of God. By myrrh, the burial of the body. And accordingly, they gave him gold as king, frankincense as God, and myrrh as man. And they went back to their own country another way. Once they had seen the true light of Christ, their lives changed, these three kings. They recognized the wickedness of Herod and the ignorance and lack of faith of the Jews. They returned to their own country to tell all about the great things that they had seen, especially the fulfillment of the prophecy on the star which shall rise out of Jacob, Numbers 24:7. Notwithstanding this time of waiting until the preaching of all the nations about Christ, how Christ died, was resurrected and ascended into heaven, the visit of the Magi, who are canonized saints, Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, is still another example of how God was preparing his people for his coming. God was surrounding the birth of his son with extraordinary events, such as angels singing for the poor shepherds and a star guiding the Magi from distant lands. So God, in a way, is sounding the great news through the shepherds, through the angels singing, and through the stars. Now we need to be imitators of the wise men. So we must bring to the infant Jesus the gold of our charity, the frankincense of our adoration and prayer, and the myrrh of our suffering and sacrifice. So this is what we have to do. And in our lives this year coming up, we need to adore the Lord with our frankincense and prayer. And we need to suffer for him with myrrh. And we need to give him the gold of our charity. And my dear friends, these are such great events. And this is such a beautiful feast, the coming of the Magi, the event of showing that the Gentiles are now welcome to the kingdom, and the rest is history. So for 2,000 years plus, the church has been growing, still standing, thank God, shaking a little bit in a way, always undergoing the onslaughts of the evil one and the work of man doing the devil's work as we see today. But as Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We must have hope. This is what Our Lady says at Fatima. This is why she came 100 years ago to tell us that the 20th century was going to be a very difficult century. Right? Very difficult. That Russia would spread her errors. There'd be wars and so on. And she said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Though notwithstanding all the suffering that we're going through these days, where we see the scandals in the church, and also the loss of faith, the great apostasy. This is what we're going through as the Catholics, where 90% of the Catholics do not go to church on Sunday. This is why we need to pray for our brothers and sisters. They think it's fine, everything's all right. Oh, I don't go to church anymore. I don't believe you have to go every Sunday. I'm a lapsed Catholic. And they sort of celebrate it, in a way, justifying what they're doing, justifying their apostasy, their lack of belief. They put to shame, in a way, the Magi put them to shame, coming all the way from the East to adore the newborn king, falling down on their knees, giving gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And today we know, 2,000 years later, we have so much truth, so much history about the truth of the faith, that it's sad how people could lose it so easily and justify their loss of faith by saying, everything's all right, one religion's as good as another, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. My dear friends, that is not true. Thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath day. They can't even give 1 hour of adoration a week to God. They can't come to church on Sunday to thank God for all the graces that He has given them, all the gifts He has given them, the good life, the good health, the work, and so on, the family, their home, and so forth. My dear friends, very, very sad. We must listen to Moses when Moses told us, if you obey God and you listen, you obey the commandments, you will be blessed. If you don't obey the commandments, you'll be cursed. Choose a blessing or a curse, Moses says. And many of these people are choosing curses on themselves. God cannot allow them to go away without inflicting some reminder that they're not doing what's right. So this is why He has to send down evils upon them and sufferings to wake them up. And maybe when they get enough problems and enough evils, they'll get down on their knees and say, beg God, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against heaven and thee. I'm not worthy to be called your son. We're all that way. So we must beg God to forgive us for our sins, especially for our lack of adoration on Sundays and the lack of obeying the commandments, keeping the commandments, as Our Lady says. Many men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. So, my friends, let us imitate Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, and let us go and visit the manger, and let us give Jesus our gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the gold of our charity, the frankincense of our adoration, and the myrrh of our prayer, our sufferings. Let us give Him all these things and thank Him for the wonderful revelations of His Son and the founding of His church and the sacraments and so on. Where would we be without the Catholic Church? This is what we need to tell people. And this is what we need to tell our brothers and sisters who no longer believe. And of course, we have to pray for them. As Our Lady says, to pray and sacrifice. For many souls will go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them. So let us pray our rosaries morning, noon, and night for our beloved brothers and sisters. Or else Will they save their souls? Who's going to pray for them if you are not? I don't know who they all are. You know who they are. I can pray for those I know, but you have to pray for those you know. And then we'll save many, many souls. May the Lord bless you.